Chapter 17. Aboard the Anakin Solo. The little personnel speeder, Kytus at the controls, hurtled down the main passageway of the Anakin Solo, causing crew members, uniformed pilots, and civilian observers to leap cursing out of its way. In the passenger's seat, strapped down tight, Alana laughed, a child's throaty chuckle Kytus could hear even over the roar of the repulsor lifts. Ordinarily, he would have been charmed. Now he was simply alarmed. He would remain so until he was off the Anakin Solo and away from whatever it was Leia had brought aboard. Nor could he leave in the vehicles he knew and trusted most, his shuttle and Tahiri's Stealth X. They were in the same hangar as Leia's yacht, so he raced toward the main starfighter bay. He'd take out something fast and well-defended, and stay far enough away from the Anakin Solo that Alana would remain safe if a bomb detonated aboard. He hadn't forgotten his negotiations with Captain Hawklaw, but they were no longer important. He sideslipped into a pedestrian downramp, causing a half-squad of infantry to dive over a railing to avoid him. Alana laughed again. He glanced at her and forced a smile. "Having fun?"
"Lots of fun. Can I drive?"
"Next time, sweetie." Finally, there they were, double doors leading into the main starfighter bay. They slid aside at his approach. He roared in, clearing mechanics standing on either side of the door by a handspan. He glanced at the arrayed ranks of starfighters, old and new, trusted and experimental, and veered toward the line of various TIE series. One in particular, an experimental design he'd flown once, drew his eye. The prototype TIE reconnaissance fighter, nicknamed the Blur by GA pilots, resembled the old TIE bomber. It had low-profile, curved solar array wings and two cylindrical fuselages mounted side by side, making the vessel look curiously like a pair of macro binoculars mounted between a pair of cupped hands. Unlike the situation with the original bomber, the portside pod on the Blur was an electronics housing, carrying a modern-era hyperdrive, astronavigation computers, a shield generator, life support systems, and sophisticated electronic countermeasures. It was the closest thing to a Stealth X to come out of Senar, its manufacturer. This Blur was painted in black, undecorated, except for small Galactic Alliance symbols on the outer wings. Kytus slewed to a stop beside the Blur and was unstrapping Alana as a mechanic ran up to him.
"Can I help you, sir?"
Kytus lifted Alana out of her seat. "I'm taking the Blur out."
Yes, sir. But Captain O'Leary is doing a test run in 15 minutes. A sweep near the Confederation Task Force..."
"Push it back." Not waiting for a boarding ladder, Kytus leapt atop the Blur and lifted the boarding hatch.
"You fill out the forms for me." "Yes, sir."
Kytus's comlink beeped. Carefully, he clambered with Alana down into the cockpit, pulled the hatch shut, and settled into the pilot's couch before answering.
"Yes?"
It was his sensor officer.
"Sir, 16 squadrons of starfighters have dropped out of hyperspace. They're heading toward us at full speed. The Confederation capital ships are also moving in."
"Signal Admiral Limpen. Tell her to bring her task force in now. Launch all starfighters from all vessels."
As he spoke, Kytus powered up the Blur and glanced his way through an abbreviated pre-flight checklist.
"Move the Anakin Solo to the rear of our formation, and do not, repeat, do not bring up our shields until the last possible moment, or until the diagnostics that are running pronounce them safe, whichever comes first."
"Yes, sir."
"I'm launching now."
Alana in his lap, Kytus finished pulling webbing tight over the two of them, then activated the Blur's repulsors. In his haste, he caused the vehicle nearly to jump up off the hangar floor. Alarms filled the air, and suddenly mechanics were everywhere, running to the squadrons of starfighters in the hangar, prepping them for the imminent arrival of pilots. The glow rods surrounding the main hangar doors in the floor lit up, signifying that the atmosphere containment field had been activated. The doors themselves began to draw aside, revealing Starfield below. Kytus didn't wait for them to finish opening. He banked across and dropped through the half-opened portal, eliciting a squeal of delight from Alana. And then he was outside, away from the life-threatening explosion he was sure the Anakin Solo represented. Kytus breathed easier for a minute. Outside, surrounded by hard vacuum with enemy starfighters and capital ships racing in his direction, at last he felt safe. Aboard the Anakin Solo, Jason Solo's private hangar. Leia marched through the doors, and Jag hit a series of buttons on the keypad beside them, closing and locking them. Han, visible through the viewport of the Love Commander cockpit, waved. Then his voice crackled across the comlink.
"Sweetheart, get aboard. We've got it, and it's time to fly."
Leia put on a force-augmented burst of speed and dashed up the yacht's boarding ramp. She heard Jag hurrying in her wake. Zek was just inside the yacht's main cabin, standing by to seal the exit hatch. Leia moved forward to the cockpit, where Han occupied the pilot seat, Jaina the co-pilot's. Leia dropped into the captain's chair, which Lando formerly had occupied.
"We're in deep space, about halfway between Coruscant and Corellia. Jason's occupied talking to the Corellians. Now might be the time to go."
Han half-turned and cocked his head at her.
"Maybe, maybe not. They've already tried to lock you out, lock us in, and depressurize this hangar. They don't want us to leave. The question is, are they tractor-beam angry or turbo-laser angry?"
"Good question. But Zek disabled the tractor-beam."
In the manner of a cantina drink hustler, Leia batted her eyes at her husband.
"Surely you can outfly a few little old turbo-laser beams, like last time on Kashyyyk?"
Han scowled.
"In that case, strap in tight."
Jag's boot heels rang on the boarding ramp, followed by the sound of the ramp being raised into place. Leia's ears popped as the hull sealed for space. And then there were Han's muttered words, barely audible as he started the engines.
"Told you we should have been flying the Falcon."
Leia rolled her eyes.
"In the Falcon, we never would have persuaded them that you weren't aboard."
Han's next words were lost as General Quarter's alarms began shrilling in the hangar. Kytus brought the blur around and above the Anakin Solo, giving him an unimpeded view of the vessel and open space before it. Alana cooed with appreciation at the vista of stars and ships. Suddenly, there were more ships. A bluish streak resolved itself into the curved, graceful lines of the Mon Cal cruiser Blue Diver, flagship of the GA Second Fleet, forward and to port of the Blur's position. Other capital ships, a score of them, ended their hyperspace jumps in formation all around the vessels already on station. Starfighters now began to stream out of the Anakin Solo's belly and the starfighter bays of other vessels like piranha beetles swarming out of a just-damaged nest. And if the Blur's sensors were to be believed, the enemy starfighter squadrons and capital ships, increasingly outnumbered, continued to race forward. Kytus saw that the enemy capital ships were not assuming any formation he was familiar with. They remained spread out, too far apart to reinforce one another with overlapping fields of fire. He snorted. He wouldn't need to employ his Sith battle meditation technique to turn this into a gruesome victory for the Galactic Alliance. The Confederation couldn't have mounted a worse approach than the one he was seeing. A light appeared on his comm board, and he heard Admiral Limpin's voice.
"Sir, I'm arraying us in battle diamond formation, overlapping fields of fire to deal with the starfighter problem, and holding here
since they seem anxious to do all the work, unless you have other specific orders?
No, Admiral. I'll monitor from here, and maybe assist in defending against the starfighters. And maybe not.
That seems to be an unnecessary risk, sir.
But an opportunity to test out the capabilities of the blur.
Yes, sir.
The light faded. Alana's voice chided him.
You're working again.
Sorry, sweetie. Something came up.
He banked to port and climbed well above the blue diver's relative altitude, activating the blur's electronic countermeasures as he did so. In moments, he was well outside the GA formation, and he hoped not registering on enemy sensors. Below him, the leading edges of Confederation starfighter squadrons came within firing range of their GA counterparts. Lasers, little needles of green and red light, flashed between the two forces. The lines of starfighters wavered and broke, dissolving into dozens of dogfights. Kytus frowned. Curiously, the Confederation starfighter force was not hammering its way into the GA formation and going after the big ships. They remained skirmishing in a big furball just before the formation. He shook his head. This was the most extraordinarily stupid way to lose a surprise attack that he had ever seen. Abruptly, his father's voice sounded in his ears, words spoken 20 years before or more.
Jason, when you're so much smarter than your opponent that you know you don't even have to make an effort to beat him, that's when he smiles and hands you the vibroblade he just cut your heart out with.
Kytus shook his head to clear the memory away. His father didn't have anything to teach him anymore. Now would be the time for the bomb to go off. But no wash of fire burst out of the open hangar door in the Anakin Solo's hull. Baffled, Kytus shook his head.
Somebody went away.
Alana's voice was faint.
What?
Somebody went away. And somebody else. They're going away.
There was now a world of hurt and dread in Alana's voice. Kytus leaned forward to see what he could of her face, and was surprised to witness tears rolling down her cheeks. But what? Then he knew the answer. She was Force-sensitive. Pilots were dying, and she was feeling the diminishment in the Force that accompanied each death. Inured as he was to death in combat, he paid no more attention to it than he would to a breeze stirring his hair. But Alana was experiencing each event as a little stab of pain. He hesitated, caught off guard. What could he tell her to make the pain go away? No soothing words would keep her from feeling each distant loss. And he was suddenly helpless. Aboard the Love Commander. Jaina's calmed signal activated the receiver and chip Han and Jag had planted in the outer door machinery. Rows of warning lights flashed around the outer doors, indicating that the atmosphere shield was being activated. Moments later, the doors slid aside, revealing a number of capital ships looming in the starfield. Han eased the yoke forward. The Love Commander glided to the entryway, and her prow emerged through the atmosphere shield. But Han did not increase thrust for a run into space. As the yacht's nose entered vacuum, Han meticulously turned to port, toward Anakin Solo's stern. Leaving the hangar, the yacht maintained a distance of less than 2 meters from the Star Destroyer's hull, too close for the ship's guns to target him. They could not depress that far, and even if they could, a clean hit would hull the yacht and damage the Anakin Solo itself. Jaina nodded.
Nice. Slow as a teenager taking her first speeder parking test. But nice.
Han shot her a dirty look. Now we just have to find the perfect time to make our run for it.